This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
America's mayor. This was the honorific bestowed upon Rudy Giuliani in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks, when he was a highly visible figure in New York City's recovery. As Americans were desperate for leadership and hope after the tragedy, Giuliani became a symbol of national resolve. But over the years, as the specter of the Twin Towers falling became less omnipresent in the country's consciousness, criticism began to surface regarding Giuliani's decision-making in the run-up and aftermath of 9/11. Prior to the attacks, Giuliani overrode concerns from advisors and relocated the city's Office of Emergency Headquarters to the World Trade Center itself. As the 9/11 Commission report noted, this was a costly mistake, given that the terrorist attacks knocked out radio communications, likely resulting in many of the 343 firefighters who perished in the towers never having received the order to evacuate. And after the attacks, Giuliani reopened Ground Zero prematurely and blocked an order by the EPA that cleanup workers wear respirators, despite a report by the U.S. Geological Survey that the air was loaded with asbestos and had the toxicity of inhaling drain cleaner. The 9/11 first responders' illness that sickened and killed hundreds of emergency workers was, at minimum, exacerbated by the mayor's negligence. In July 2007, as early polling showed Giuliani as the frontrunner for the GOP presidential nomination to succeed George W. Bush, the nation's largest firefighters union released a 13-minute attack ad titled Rudy Giuliani, Urban Legend. The incendiary spot contrasted Giuliani's opportunistic invocation of the attacks to raise his political profile with his demonstrated failure to protect firefighters as mayor. As retired firefighter Jim Riches, himself the father of a 9/11 victim, observed in the video, quote, "He's running on 9/11, and it's all a fallacy," end quote. Giuliani's presidential campaign would never get off the ground. But in 1994, the first year of Giuliani's first mayoral term, years before 9/11 forever altered his and the nation's trajectories, two firefighter brothers, Robin and Chris Sorensen, decided to collaborate on a submarine sandwich shop in Jacksonville, Florida. Robin had previously dabbled in restaurant management as a side hustle, and as the duo financed their dream project off of relatives' credit cards, they decided to theme their eatery after their shared profession. As the brothers' meat-loaded firehouse sandwiches attracted a devoted fan base, the company began franchising in earnest in 1999 and grew rapidly nationwide over the course of the aughts. Today, the Sorensen Brothers sub chain has over 1,000 locations across North America and Puerto Rico, and it pays tribute to its firefighter lineage by donating a portion of its proceeds to charities benefiting America's bravest. And also today, Rudy Giuliani's already tarnished reputation is in tatters, and the 9/11 candidate who mismanaged 9/11 has been reduced to a flailing ghoul, the inept TV lawyer for a reality star president, universally reviled by the city he once led, as the myth of America's mayor has gone up in smoke. This week on Doughboys, Firehouse Subs.
Go with the Doughboys!
Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, alongside my co-host, Fenway Frank Caliendo, Mitchie Two Spoons, Mike Mitchell.
I've worked with Frank Caliendo. He's great.
Yeah, he is
He's
great.
He's great.
Yeah.
This is a compliment. Fenway Frank Caliendo.
And Fenway Frank, something you like.
Something I like.
Hey, you know, sometimes these insults turn into nice little compliments that Mitch enjoys. So that's a possible feature. Or maybe just failed at your job if you did that.
Frank Caliendo was, he did Birthday Boys, and he had everybody cracking up. He was very, very funny.
A naturally charming man. I wonder what that's like. Derek Furr sent that in. If you have an insult you like on Mitch at the top of the show, roastspoonman@gmail.com is the address.
Yeah, don't send anything. Howdy ho to Mitchie Two Spoons Nation. Embarrassed to say it in front of our guest. Don't know her too well. I'm just going to say out loud that I promise you I'm not a weirdo. And I got a little drop here, Nick.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Ba-da-ba. was it.
Wow.
I'm liking it.
That was a lot of fun from a recent Doughboys Depple episode with Jenny Pearson.
To hear me all like singled out and echoey, and
to hear your voice put over a piano hitting those keys. Yeah, it is weird. It's very strange.
That was from Dan Padley, Doughboys and Guests. I'm loving it. The podcast, that is. Sorry for the dumb drop. Twitter at Padley Dan. Thanks. That was good.
That was great. Good very job. Well done. And hey, you know, Mitch, I have a little something for you at the top of the show here. I know you have a vacation to Italy planned in the near future. Is that correct?
That's all right.
All right. Well, I thought I'd reach out in advance of your trip, so I'm going to place a call to the Italian Tourism Board in Rome just to check in. So I'm going to go ahead and dialing now.
Oh, interesting.
Waiting for it.
E buongiorno. This is the Tourism Board of Italy.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
It's me, Mario.
Whoa.
Mario Gennaro. I am the director of guest relations for the entire country of Italy.
Wow, okay.
How can I help you today?
Well, Mario, my name is Nick Weiger. I'm calling from America. I'm the host of a podcast.
America. I love America. I love Trump.
Oh no. That's horrible. No, that's horrible.
That's bad news.
No, I only say that because so he don't nuke us.
Oh, got it. That makes sense.
We don't want to get a nuke.
Yeah.
We are scared to get a nuke. We love a Trump.
I understand that self-defense reaction. Well, I'm the host of a podcast over here called Doughboys. And
the Doughboys. I know the Doughboys.
Oh, you know us.
Mario.
Italia. Your show is, unlistenable.
Okay, that's fair.
My English, it's a dog shit. It's like to listen to your podcast is like to put a zucchini in your ass sideways.
Oh boy, that sounds awfully uncomfortable. But fair, very fair. Well, my co-host, I'm calling because my co-host, Mike Mitchell, is a famous actor here in America. He was on this show called Love on Netflix.
Love, amore. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore on Netflix.
Oh, that's nice.
He works. Is he there with you now?
He is actually here right now. Say hi, Mitch.
Hey, Mario, how are you?
Mitch, the spoon guy.
That's right.
Hey, spoon guy. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure, yeah. What's up, Mario?
When the Judd Apatow hang out on a set, he just to make you laugh the whole time, he cracks jokes. Is he as funny as he is in that Gary Shandling documentary? He's so funny in that.
Wow, Mario. Interesting takeaway.
That was the funniest documentary I ever seen.
Oh, I thought it was kind of sad in some ways, but he's even funnier. He's even funnier.
Oh, I knew it. Thank you for confirming for me.
Of course.
So,
Mario, do you know that people do you know that there's a famous video game or that character that says it's a me, Mario?
Yes, the video game that was based after me, a Mega Man.
So Mario, I wanted to let you know, in regards to Mitch, and I know you, as a tourism board, you're probably used to accommodating celebrities, and Mitch here is actually going to be traveling to Italy next month, and I want to see if he could get some trips for his Italian, or some tips, rather, for his Italian vacation.
Okay, you stop right there. You play a prank on me.
No, yes. He's coming. He's coming to Italy.
No, I see you are an American comedian. You play a prank on me. You do a punk on me. That's a very funny. Mike Mitchell, the spoon guy, coming to Italy. That's very funny.
He can confirm it himself, Mitch.
Mario, I'm coming to Italy in about a month's time. Right,
it's
after.
Not a joke. This is not a joke.
No joke. This is real. I'm coming. I'm gonna be in Italy, Rome, Florence, and Venice.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia, no, Mitch the spoon guy coming to Italy. We don't have enough of food. No, it's Giuseppe. You fired up all in the pizza oven and Mike and the spoon guy Mitchell coming to Italia. Oh, no. Mitch, I beg of you, no, please do not come. We have a children and old wrinkly women to feed. Please, we're not going to have any meatballs when you're done. I beg you, show us some mercy. Do not come to Italy. Do not come.
Mario, I promise you I won't eat a country's worth of food.
I mean, you do have big appetite, but that's a lot of food.
That seems like what you were to say to get yourself across the border, and then next thing you know, it's just tumbleweeds instead of tortellinis.
Hold on a second. Tortellinis are blowing across the street?
No, I'm saying that you will eat all the tortellinis and there will be nothing left but the tumbleweeds. Do you understand?
Got it, yeah. That checks for me.
Dude.
That checked out.
Please, are we going to do? What are we going to do if we run out of a marinara? What are we going to put in the babies of bottles? Milk?
You're feeding babies marinara?
Or sauce? What the hell?
Well, sometimes a vodka sauce. If
oh, no.
To fatten up a bit. But what are we going to do? Start giving them milk? My wife's a breast, I don't think so.
You don't specifically have to get your wife's breast milk to feed everyone in the country.
I mean, breastfeeding your own kids is appropriate, but, you know, she's not obligated to that. I wanted to let you know, but, you know, we're running tight on time here, Mario, but I wanted to let
I've
you know.
I've got plenty of time. I can stay on as long as you need me to.
Yeah, it seems like if you're the director of tour, what would you say, director of guest relations for all of Italy, it would seem like you'd maybe have more calls to field. You wouldn't be able to spend all day on the phone with the two podcast hosts.
Well, also, it must be a weird time in Italy there, right?
Isn't I didn't
people
do
don't
it.
Want to come here anymore because people are being more carb conscious.
Oh, got it. So that hurts the pizza, the pasta,
and the bread.
Right, the cannolis. Yeah, there's a lot of carbs. Gelato, even. There's a lot of carbs in everything.
Mm.
Yes. Right now, I am drinking a glass of olive oil.
Wow. Does not seem nutritious. It seems just like empty calories.
It is. It's good for my skin and my hair.
Is it even, that seems like not even pleasant to drink. It's like drinking...
Well, you're thinking about the stuff you get at a Trader Joe's where you're from. This is from Italy, straight from the olive.
Oh, that sounds pretty good,
actually. That sounds pretty good.
Hey, I squeezed 10 olives this morning into a glass. Anyways, what were you saying?
I was just going to say...
I got a question.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Mitch.
I got two things before you go, Mario. One, what should I try for food there in Italy? And two, I know you're afraid of me eating stuff, but if there's any recommendations you have for food, I'll take it easy. And two, is there any sights that I should see while I'm there?
Here's what you should do for the food. Eat as much food as you can on the plane and then pray for the plane to crash.
Oh, my God.
You know I'm always praying for the plane to crash when I'm on it.
You have to understand, we don't want you to come here. That's the whole thing of this phone call.
Right.
What about any sights that you think I should see? The Colosseum?
Maybe you should. Have you ever ridden in Venice on the gondola?
Oh, you know, I've never done that, but I would love to do it.
You must get in the gondola, ride it down the river, and tip it over. please spare us. If we run out of food, we are going to have a tapas flown in from Spain for sustenance, just to keep us alive,
right?
Like after when Garfield visited here.
Well, you know, I think Mitch will be all right. He's going to have a lot of his friends from Quincy there with him, who are going to keep him in line.
Oh,
so.
A Chankton, a Wu-Tang.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah, yeah, they both will be there.
Yes.
Oh, l'hombre de la Micas.
Yeah, Micas will be there too.
So you can say hi to all those guys. Hey, one last thing, Mario. So we recently had Munch Madness, our pizza tournament, this past March, and as per our rules, Mitch, this is something we talked about. We were supposed to send a pizza from our winner, Domino's, to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We were wondering if you could help us out with that.
What are you asking me a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, can you help us connect, you know, with someone over the Leaning Tower of Pisa so we can get the engineers there some Domino's pizza?
Domino's pizza is the one you want to send to the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
That's correct.
Domino's a pizza. That's very good, yes. How about instead of that, you take a piss on my flag? Huh? How about you wipe your ass with the Italian flag? Maybe that would be a little less offensive to Italian culture. Hey, why don't you take a zucchini and stick it up on my ass sideways, okay. Huh?
All right. Just go to Mario's go-to. Is the
that would be
zucchini.
Less painful. Than I would rather eat the original Neapolitan pizza, a little tiny shitty burnt pizza with a little bit of cheese on it. An Italian tradition.
Well, we apologize for offending your sensibilities there. Thank you very much. Mario Gennaro from the Italian Board of Tourism. Thank you.
Ciao, buddy.
Ciao, Mario. Thank you.
And, you know, we've got some chowing of our own to do here, Mitch.
Yeah, let's introduce our guest
who sat very patiently through that bullshit. She's an actress and writer.
I liked Mario.
Mario was great. An actress and writer from AP Bio and The Boss. Mary Sohn is here. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Thank you so much for making time for us.
I love your guys' podcast. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, God bless you.
We're very happy to have you, and we probably could have called you half an hour later.
We didn't know that was going to go.
It was fun.
You were telling us before we started that you're from Illinois originally.
Yeah.
What is the... So, you know, I think a champagne, is it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, first up, do you like champagne?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. Yeah. Like, all the food is exactly how I like it.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Do you like the beverage champagne?
Not really. I'm more of a rye type of gal.
Oh, I gotcha.
Do you like the beverage champagne?
I think it's a fair because some people like a little effervescence in their wine. Fine, other people don't.
I'm not a big champagne fan myself either.
Yeah, no. I don't. I've had it. I've had it, and I've had some. I always feel like an asshole drinking out of a champagne flute.
Oh yeah.
It feels very like I feel like I'm being pretentious. I feel like I'm being a one percenter. You know.
Yeah.
And I'd rather even if I'm going to have like a lighter rye.
You are a one percenter.
Come on. You don't know my income. If I was going to have a lighter wine, I'd rather have like a rosé or something, or like, you know, like a Riesling maybe, you know, something that's got that doesn't quite. I don't know. I feel like the champagne is kind of its own thing. So what is the food like in Champagne or Illinois more generally?
If I could just piggyback on that champagne,
yes, please.
Comment. I also don't like the way people's lips have to purse to
get that
out.
It feels like a body reaction, like your lips are going backwards because they don't want it or something. A natural body reaction
right.
to not wanting champagne.
Well, it's kind of like the champagne flute size. So I've got this mini Perrier here, and it's kind of the same size as this.
You held up the can and turned it sideways to show... Mary, you were really showing it off to Mary and I, is all I'm saying.
All right, fine.
Really merchandising it.
Look, this may be branded content. You kind of have to take a little sip like this, like this motion I'm doing, this person lip things. But like the size of it is almost big enough where you almost just want to put your whole mouth around it like a bottle, you know? Like, and that but
oh,
if you did that with a
God.
Champagne flute, you'd look insane.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be a better way to drink it. There's not a great way to drink it.
I wish for people who listen to the podcast and they know a thing or two about Nick, he just did a very descriptive thing where he put his I don't know if you listen to the podcast enough. Nick can suck his own dick.
Come on. You don't have to bring that up in front of someone I just met today.
I know. It was hard for me to do, too.
What, you can also do it?
No. Oh, God,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
God, no. But that was very. I never get the sense to put my mouth around the entire can of the Perrier.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean the can. I was using this to illustrate in place of a champagne flute. I was using this as an illustrative.
But even still,
prompt.
With the champagne, that really, that's a thing you want
to
like.
I don't know. I just feel like it's a little too narrow, and you have to put
Gatorade,
your lips in a weird
way. It's like
way.
A Gatorade, but I don't put my mouth around the Gatorade bottle opening. You know what I mean?
I've done that before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
But your lips go into it, I feel like.
It's a little awkward.
Which is maybe gross. I don't know.
Yeah. But I like a normal glass. I ordered the classic champagne glass. It has like a wider brim. It's more like a margarita glass. That's a little bit better if you encounter that. But wine aside, autofellatio aside, you're growing up in Champaign, Illinois. What are you chowing down there?
Well, my family will make the 2.5 hour trip now to go back to a place called Monocle's Pizza. Paper thin pizza, really good. Very good French dressing. Now, you're not going to find a French.
No.
That's like worthy to drive 2.5 hours. But
right.
that place, yes.
Wow.
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. There's also a place called Custard Cup.
Have I heard of Custard Cup?
Probably Jarling's Custard Cup.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Is this a small chain or a standalone?
I think it's a standalone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe not. Well, I know a lot of Chicago folks, so possibly I have.
What's Jarling's Custard Cup all about?
It's just like, you know, custard is just far superior than ice cream. You know, it's so much creamier.
That's a bold statement.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a big ice cream fan. Okay. I like a good custard, but I mean, that's a strong stance you're taking.
Well, she can have that.
Yes, you're welcome to have that opinion. I'm just saying, it's a hot take, if you will.
Here's the deal with Nick. Nick eats, like a little boy, eats ice cream every night now that he's an adult.
I don't have it every night. I have it once a week.
You'd have ice cream quite a bit.
I would be rough on my midsection if I was having it every night. I had it when I was a little boy, and I was a plump young man. We had a lot of ice cream. We had a bowl of ice cream for dessert.
I have to ask you this. I just asked my friend, what would be a reasonable size portion for like a home scoop of ice cream?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, if you go to an ice cream parlor, you usually get the one scoop. Sometimes you'll indulge, you get the double.
Sure.
You'll rarely get the triple. But I mean, I think if you're eating at home, a lot of times you'll give yourselves just like three hearty scoops in a bowl. And you're having basically a Sunday's worth of ice cream. It's excessive. I don't know. I feel like a double scoop is proper. Also, too, the other danger is you'll get that pint and you'll just eat out of the pint.
That's it.
And you can take that whole bad boy down in one.
I finished a Ben and Jerry's pint.
Yeah,
more than once.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
And I try to buy those Häagen-Dazs like single tiny serving ones. Yes. You know what I'm talking about? And that's just a pure tease.
Yeah. They don't quite scratch the itch. You need a little bit more. But wait, so you're a big custard fan. What do you look for in a custard?
Just the creamy factor.
Got it.
And that is not a great thing to say, but creamy factor.
That's like the least bad thing that's ever been said on this show, so don't worry. We said worse things like 5 minutes ago.
I also like, for some reason, they have a lemon flavor that tastes so good. It's a natural lemon flavor.
Right.
Excellent.
Lemon, you know, I don't like lemon when it crosses over into food. Like, I don't like lemon chicken as much.
Sure.
I've said that before
on the podcast. You have an aversion to lemon chicken. I have an aversion to lemon,
yeah, specifically. But, like, lemon, as far as fruity, because I never go fruity ice cream flavors as much, but lemon works a lot of the time, like a lemon sorbet or something. Like, lemon really does well with ice creams.
You get a good lemon meringue. That can be a lot of fun. Here's a thing that I've had that is great, and that this is actually because I know we talked about which chain we were going to cover, and Cheesecake Factory was floated as a possibility.
Yeah.
But they have a dessert at Cheesecake Factory that's not cheesecake. Their lemon tort is delicious. It's very, very good. It's like this lemon cake, and it's got like it's as indulgent as you'd think a slice of cake for the Cheesecake Factory is, but that lemon flavor works really well in it.
Oh god,
yeah, yeah, it's dynamite.
That doesn't come with a scoop of vanilla ice cream, does it?
I mean, you can make that happen.
Oh my god.
They'll accommodate you at the Cheesecake Factory.
You would make anything a la mode if you could. You love making things a la mode.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
I draw the line at like poutine. I'm not going to put ice cream on something savory. I'm going to put that on like a slice of meatloaf, but like, you know, like yeah, like desserts usually are kicked up a notch with some vanilla ice cream. And by the way, this is a thing I say as a creed of mine, but vanilla is a flavor. People think of vanilla as plain, but vanilla is a flavor.
I'm with you. My favorite restaurant in LA is Tex.
Okay.
You ever mess with Tex?
No, I have not.
The French place
on
Sunset.
Oh my God. Is it really?
Oh, it's beautiful. Have you had their food?
No, I'm just saying it's such a funny, it's like an old school, very I actually shot in there for Birthday Boys for the pilot. It's like old school, older, like a lot older clientele that are hanging around there. Like, and it feels like a place that like its heyday was a while ago.
Yeah, which, there's a lot of like velvety curtains around.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, no, but I don't think I've actually ever eaten there before.
Oh my God, best escargot in the city, but.
Wow.
I have to say, whenever I end like a delicious meal there, I always end it with a firm scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Hell yeah.
And it is perfect.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's dreamy.
That's hey, it can be a great end of the meal kind of palate, not cleanser, but I guess a cleanser, but it can just be kind of like, this is a nice solid flavor to end the meal on.
I was mean to you about vanilla before, but I get it. Thank you.
I get it.
I feel like we're coming to a lot of understanding in recent episodes.
No, shut up.
But I think, like, here's what I like about ice cream, besides the fact that it is a delicious S-tier dessert.
It's cold.
I like that it's cold, but I also like that what you were saying is that as a dessert after a meal, it's, like, great. Like, sometimes, you know, my wife Natalie and I will go out, we will get this, we'll get, like, a great meal, and yeah, we'll do the same thing, just get, like, a single scoop of ice cream a piece, and because it's not, if you have a lot of food, it's not super substantial. It's not like something like a slice of pie or a cake or a more composed.
It just
fancy
melts
pants
over
dessert.
That glob of food in your stomach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just in those cracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Cracks. Well, because I notice when I don't do the vanilla ice cream, I end up walking towards that 76 on that and getting a shitload of candy to then later eat in my bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're a candy fan?
Huge, huge candy fan.
Oh, boy. We got to talk candy. So what are your go-tos?
I love like a sour straw or any sort of like Sour Patch Kids, Starburst, Skittles. My new favorite are Airhead Bites.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're going to find that at an AMC. But they're like these rainbow bites that taste like cherry. Very good bite on it.
Oh, all right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. Yeah.
Wait, by bite, you mean they have like a little sourness to them, or what do you mean? Or just like the texture of it?
Great follow up. The texture.
Like, got it.
Yeah. Also, any sort of like sour, chewy candy thrown in the freezer for a minimum of 1 hour, and then you hit that bad boy.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I have never done that.
A lot of the time it's a Snickers bar you throw in the freezer, but I like that to kind of like just. The texture, it just hardens up the texture a little bit. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. Nick, you got to try it.
Yeah. I might try hopping in the freezer for an hour before I spend the night with Nally.
Yourself?
Yeah. Firm up a little. So it seems like you like the gummy. How are you in terms of chocolate? You like chocolate candies?
I do like a chocolate candy. I love a classic Snickers.
Got it.
I love Twix, Kit Kat. Mm-hmm. But I don't love it when they like deviate and they'll do like a green tea Kit Kat. Not for me.
Oh, wow.
We've tried a lot of different versions of that on the show.
Yeah, we've had some of those more exotic ones they've got overseas, and I feel
we had a few from like Japanese Kit Kats.
Some of them are okay.
Some are good.
Some are good. They're all a little distinct, and I feel like they've also reached a point where people know it's a thing now, so they're almost trying to push the gimmick. I mean, that's certainly a thing that's happened with Oreos. I've had these, and we've had these on a previous episode, but the kettle corn Oreo is
these
like
are now
thing
like
they're doing.
Two or three weeks old sitting there?
They've been sitting on top of a stack of papers in a bag on your table.
First
Mitch.
Of all, that is the Doughboy's bag.
All right,
and it's
fine.
Both of our responsibility to go through. I said I will go through all of that stuff with you.
Let's do it tonight.
No fucking way.
Well, then when are we going to do it?
We got a three record night tonight.
All right,
my man. That is my limit with you.
All right, fine.
That's so much time we spent together.
Do you want me to take it home and do it myself and bring it back?
No way. We're doing it together as friends.
When do you want to do it then?
At the next record.
Well, next time we're going to start, we already know next week we're going to start later.
Hey, the nighttime is the right time, baby.
You want to go at midnight? Like we're having a sleepover? Go through this bag? Mm-hmm. This canvas bag of things from the Department of Education from California? What even is this?
The Department of Health is trying to shut us down. We've seen what's happened to Mitch over the course of 3 years. And you need to stop the podcast.
Well, it's a Super Size Me in slow motion.
Slow motion.
So what? Outside of the,
you know what?
Yeah,
he didn't get fat enough in Super Size Me. That's fucking bullshit.
I agree. He didn't quite gain enough weight. I think for him to really make that point of the deleterious effect it was having on his body.
That guy got shamed out of fucking Hollywood. Good piece of shit, liar. Yeah, he's gonzo. He did some bad stuff that he admitted to.
I don't know if the specifics came out though. It was one of those vague things, so I don't know.
He said it himself. I think he said it himself.
He said the specifics.
Him and Jared, two guys who I had the bullseye on before, both gone.
I mean, I'm not supporting Morgan Spurlock here, but I don't think you can quite equate the two. Talking with someone who
I think they're one and the same.
Death. Okay, all right.
Don't mess with McDonald's, motherfucker.
And that is a message I can get behind. That is real.
So and I also know you're a McDonald's fan, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Have you had the new fresh beef quarter pounder?
Zaddy, I want to say yes. It was truly in like a weak moment where it was like, I haven't eaten in hours. I better go through this drive-thru.
Right.
And I really, like back in the day when I played tennis in high school, every day once I got my license, I would drive through the drive-thru and get a small French fry. Every day.
Wow.
And then just the other day when I went through it, got that new quarter pounder.
Hell yeah.
Also a Filet-O-Fish because I'm a maniac, and a medium fry. And
that's a good order.
It's a great order, but you're going to have a really bad stomach ache. That's going to be bad news.
But I think that the one thing about McDonald's, especially if you go to a reliably good McDonald's, because there can be some variation from chains, is like I feel like if you're going to... I mean, like, I'm certainly at the age, Mitch, you and I have the same issue where we go into eating something like that, we know that we're going to suffer the consequences. And it's nice when McDonald's, when it's like, oh, I can count on this being enjoyable enough to be worth the tummy trouble I'm going to have later.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
But the fresh beef one, did you notice a difference between the previous one? Because Mitch and I both did, and we both like, actually, that's what that drop was from our bonus episode where we talked about that fresh beef quarter pounder. It felt like an improvement to me, but I'm curious about your thoughts.
I'm curious about what part of that felt like an improvement.
Whoa, really?
Sorry, that wasn't even a classic slam.
No. I didn't take it as a slam. Okay,
I'm curious as to what you thought was better. You just thought the meat quality tasted better?
It, for me, had a juicier character to it, and it had more flavor. Juiciness is a big factor in burgers.
You thought cream factor. What was your exact wording for that? The creaminess of it? Of course we have juiciness factor and all this other bullshit, but... Yeah, the juiciness was better. I agree with you. The meaty juiciness. Jack Allison made a good point of like, he was like, I never want like my McDonald's burger patty to ever have the chance of being pink, which I like.
Right.
I get that complaint, though. I didn't have that either time I got it.
Yeah, mine were cooked through.
Yeah, there was kind of like I kept its classic taste to it, but there was kind of like a juicier, more authentic burger tasting thing that incorporated the McDonald's taste into it. It was weird. It's kind of hard to explain why I did like it better, but I did.
We might have also just tricked ourselves. Mm. Like it might have been the marketing just working on us, and we've been like, it's better, but it was just the same thing we remembered. But you noticed it basically being the same.
Actually, now that you're saying that, I guess I was like, the juicy character of it was much like the double cheeseburger. You know, like when you get into the double cheeseburger, it's like really greasy. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
The double cheeseburger is great.
I love the double cheeseburger.
I had a stretch where I was doing double cheeseburgers plain, which sounds like an insane order, but because like that's like a little kid order, but it was just like such a great delivery system for McDonald's, like beefy, cheesy flavor and just that doughy, you know, sponge dough bun. It was just like, it worked really well for that was just my go-to for a long time.
Huh.
Yeah, but I'm more
really
Big
funny
Mac
because
guy
I feel
now.
like when you would eat keto, Nick, and you wouldn't do like I feel like the Wendy's burger without bun, like just in a lettuce wrap or whatever, great, and Fat Burger are great, but I never think of the McDonald's burgers as one I would want to get without a bun or something, like in a lettuce wrap or something.
It still works, but and it's also too. I think McDonald's a lot of times they can be, depending on the McDonald's, they can be confused by the lettuce wrap order, or if you ask for something without a bun, it can create a little bottleneck.
But
at the
that's
drive-thru.
So weird because I, of course.
Yeah.
But I agree. I agree with you that it is like with that double quarter pounder, it is like such a cheesy, beefy, good taste.
Yes.
And then, but then also I'm like, I wouldn't want this in a lettuce wrap. Weirdly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. But the Wendy's actually, the protein style or lettuce wrap you get at Wendy's actually works pretty well. And Mary, are you you someone who would frequent a Wendy's as well?
I love a Wendy's also because the spicy chicken sandwich and the late night hours.
Hell yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I also love that they serve a baked potato and chili.
Yes.
That's what I like.
The baked potato and chili, I think, are under discussed, but they are both great options, and they're good. Like for a fast food restaurant, that's a very good execution of both of those.
I agree.
Yeah. I really like, and if you want to mix it up from fries, Wendy's fries are very solid, but if you want to mix it up and you want some chili or a baked potato, I will 100% do that. Or even a side salad, which you can mix up on the combo.
This was just a question I had, and I've completely forgot about this because it was a question we got in the mailbag, but I was given a large Wendy's chili accidentally one night where I was like, this is like, they gave me two bags.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, weird, two bags. Well, whatever. Like, my order probably was big enough for two bags. Like, I didn't question it for that long. drove home, opened up large chili, big chili.
Yes.
And I was like, man, I can't eat this out, like, because they included all my other food.
Right.
I think they just gave me an extra. Someone probably didn't get theirs.
Do you think there's a chance they saw you and were just like, this guy's going to want a large chili?
You sick fuck. I mean, probably. I would assume that if I saw me, too. And
we so don't I, want him coming back in a half hour.
Yeah, what a pain in the ass if I came back and got a chili, sick fuck. Anyways, I brought it home, didn't. I was like, I can't eat this tonight.
Right.
Put it away. Ate it the next day. Microwaved it up. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like a great leftover food. It was great. And such a nice little surprise that I got it. It was great.
Right.
I loved it.
What is your normal Wendy's order? You mentioned the spicy chicken sandwich. Mm-hmm. Is that your kind of your go to there?
I do love the classic double too.
Yeah. That Dave's double is real good.
Oh yeah. And yeah. I also feel like it's a rough one because Wendy's was part of my meal plan in college, you know, like your card will
that's
work.
Insane.
Ooh, so you know I was doing damage over there on that. Not the best. Also, I love the idea of having a large chili just in the refrigerator
right.
and just using that almost like a condiment. So like this omelet could use some Southwestern flavor. You know what I mean? You
yeah.
really turn a bland meal.
Yeah, I feel like everyone should have a spare Wendy's chili in their fridge. It is great.
Right.
And probably one of the better foods you can get there if you're eating a specific way.
Terms of being healthful?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's decently healthy, I think. It's not, you know, you get some fibrous content from the beans. It's loaded in protein.
Content.
A lot of Americans don't get enough fiber. Yeah, it's a problem.
I know.
But
fibrous content was what I was.
All right, I'm sorry. I should have said dietary fiber or something less clunky. Sorry for trying to be so highfalutin.
Fiber.
Okay, I could have just said fiber. Yes, you're right. That would have been fine. I didn't need to gild the lily. So,
oh boy.
So have we kind of like covered your favorite chains growing up, or are there more distinct Illinois chains that make you like think of home? I know you also talked about we touched on the Cheesecake Factory a little bit. Yeah. Bubba Gump Shrimp was another one that you had mentioned.
I worked at that bad boy.
You worked at Bubba Gump?
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. So when was this?
This is big. This is
huge.
Well, I have to say those were the days of the good Bubba Gump. Because like ooh. I knew our line cooks were like hand making all these like hush pups and whatnot, but now it's all frozen.
Oh, that sucks!
It's all garbage now. Yeah,
that's a
bummer. I had no idea they had a period where everything was a little bit more fresh and they've regressed a bit. That's disappointing to hear, especially in this era where you know it feels like having fresh food is enough of a thing where even McDonald's felt like they had to get in on it. But so when you were working there, what was the what was the general vibe? Which location was this, first of all?
It was on the world-famous Navy Pier in Chicago.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, a lot of tourists.
I know that pier, yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I took a Wendella boat this is a very... my father and I... This is true. A very nice experience. We were there for the 4th of July, probably 6 years or so ago now. My dad was sick at the time, but we took the Wendella boat cruise.
Yeah.
You know, and then we went, of course you know it. And then we went out... And they took us out into the like it was right around when the fireworks were supposed to happen, and the Wendella guy was like, "Guess what? Like we're going out onto the lake to watch the fireworks." And we went out onto the lake, and the pier was right there, and we watched the fireworks over the Chicago sky.
Gorgeous!
That's amazing.
It was a very nice moment
That's
in my
so
life.
Cool.
It was a very nice moment. Yeah,
yeah.
A very nice city up there in Chicago.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really? Where did you go to school?
I went to UIC, University of Illinois Chicago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, cool. And we discussed this before the show, but we have a crazy, well, like a weird thing where I was in Chicago for Chicago Sketch Fest, and I saw you perform. God, this was a while back now. Oh man, it could have been 8 years ago when you were on the Second City Touring Company.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tim Robinson was also with you performing, and you and Tim Robinson, they were all funny, but you two were standout, very funny.
Oh my God,
it's true.
Color me bashful. Honestly, it is so scary when someone's like, "I saw you," and you're just like, "Oh my God, please let it not be the one that I shit the bed, please."
Yeah,
please,
yeah.
Please, but that's very nice.
Yes, yeah.
Big Birthday Boys fan myself.
Oh, thank
wow,
you.
Very right. cool. Look at this.
Yeah,
we are coming together.
And Nick, we both think you're fine.
Hey, you know what? I'll take it. That's where I want to be, right in the belly of the bell curve.
Well, one of the funniest. Shut up.
That's funny that you mentioned that, too, because I feel like during the Second City days is when everyone just turns into a true raccoon and is eating garbage morning, noon, and night, and like always ending the night with a full Jack's pizza and tons of candy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I just feel like anytime anyone's like, oh, yeah, that time, I'm just like, oh, permanent stomach ache, so much Boston Market, three sides meal. Oh, rough stuff.
I went crazy when we were there, and I've been to Chicago a few times, but I did like the chocolate cake shake from Portillo's.
Oh, right.
Got to.
And I ate pretty much everything I could. Everything in sight. I ate Pequod's and Geno's and Geno's East.
Geno's East.
And just every, I try to eat at every, the only place I didn't do like a real, like, oh God, I'm gonna get it wrong. A beef dip? What is it called?
Oh yeah, Al's Beef.
Al's Beef. Yeah, yeah. I didn't do Al's Beef. That was the one place probably the one place in Chicago famous Chicago place I
you gotta
done.
Do it. And then will you do me a favor? Will you get that Italian ice at the end?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done that either. But I saw the White Sox versus Cubs at Wrigley. It was great.
That's fun.
It was great. Anyways, back to your story. You worked at the Bubblegum's on the pier, which seems like it would be a crazy touristy location.
Yeah, what was the vibe like?
Oh, a true nightmare. always families six abreast, walking as slowly as possible. But I will say, I remember at our 5-minute meeting at the Bubblegum Shrimp Company, my manager was like, hey, just so you remember, like, sometimes these families, this is their big summer vacation.
Right.
And that truly moved me. like, then I shall do my best
right.
and anticipate your needs and get you waters before you ask.
Yeah. Because also, too, if that's the end of the day, it's like mom and dad are just exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're just like sitting there. It's like the one, like they're having some big sugary cocktail. It's like the one like escape from like walking around the city in the heat all day this family.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I imagine that's like an interesting clientele you get in there. That's so funny that there was like this invigorating like Friday Night Lights style speech given at a Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Just so weird to think of that. But I mean, if it had its intended effect, more power to them.
It did. And I am actually embarrassed about how much I actually care about service jobs like that.
Right.
Like, I worked at two restaurants and each one I gave it my all in such a dorky ass way, but I really was like, I want to be good at this.
That's amazing.
I think people appreciate
that's
that.
Great.
Like if you really get like, there is like a performative quality at Bubba Gump. And I feel like if you get someone who is like all on board and does a good job, I feel like you enjoy the experience more, for sure. I think that is super helpful. So much, I would so much rather get that, and I probably would be guilty of this, so I'm not trying to shame anyone who do it, but someone who's like so over it and is like, hey, welcome to Bubba Gump, and I probably would do something more like that. But like you want someone who would take it seriously.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you, at your other two restaurant jobs, did they also have a placard on the table that you could change from Run Forest Run to Stop Forest Stop? Because I've seen that at a number of restaurants. Yeah.
Yeah, over there at Weber Grill.
It's weird. It's weird that every restaurant just appropriated that.
Oh, it's horrifying. I still to this day have nightmares of the sound of that flipping.
Oh, God, yeah.
God damn, it's so rough.
Yeah,
that just seems like that is overboard. That's
I wish they didn't do that. Yeah. It feels like the, you know, trust your servers to pay attention to the tables. It's kind of like a, like, because also too, I bet some like kids like probably get into like flipping it for the fun of it.
Oh, and then somebody's dad violently like shakes it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, not the best.
Be nice to your service workers.
It's also funny to me to go to Chicago, and I think that obviously these places, they have their place there, but then to go to Bubba Gump's when you're in Chicago, it's strange. You should be going to all these other weird places that I was saying. I guess because like, one night you maybe just got to go to Bubba Gump's or whatever. But I'm like, at the same time, I would be like, oh, I guess if you're out on the pier there, that's like a cool spot to sit and kind of see some stuff. But
when you're in a when you're in a city, go to some place unique to its character, Mitch. Like how you and I, when we were in New York City, we went to Guy Fieri's American Grill.
That's right. 100%.
We're like, we're going to make the most of this trip to this amazing food town.
In beautiful Times Square.
What did you guys get?
Oh, boy.
You know what? It wasn't even like, I like wanted to be like like fuzzy nacho. Like
you
like
wanted to be like guys, over the top and yeah, crazy,
like sunglasses nacho. Like right, that's what I wanted.
Yeah,
and then it was like boring. It was boring.
Yeah,
and
now Spike it's Care Lemonade. But yeah, it was yeah, it was like
it, I went down.
It, yeah, they shut it down. Wait, let me see if I can actually probably look up what we had. There's no reason for me to do this, but now I'm curious about it.
There was also a Waddle Guy Waddle instead of a.
We had like so like the dishes we had at Guy's American were kind of they like Mitch was saying that they were nothing particularly special.
Mm-hmm.
So like here the cocktail I got, I've got these up now, the Crazy Cab Driver.
Yeah.
Not at all a Guy Fieri yeah, specific, kind of New York connected. Vegas fries, which are fine. He has a big restaurant in Vegas that has these over the top fries, and this was
also the Crazy Cab Driver.
Exactly, yeah.
What?
Not great.
That sucks.
I think it was a reference to the Sega Dreamcast game. That was Crazy Taxi. I know. Don't I correct know, me online.
You're
going
to get roasted. I was thinking
don't
that,
roast me on Twitter. Bacon and chicken mac and cheese, which, you know, they have that at TGI Fridays. That's sure, nothing. Like this isn't mind-blowing stuff. I mean, that they didn't really, in the way that I think Bubba Gump does really go all out with their theme and like mm-hmm, everything is so mm-hmm, like, don't they have like a thing called like a Bubba's Bucket of Trash or something?
Oh yeah, the boat trash
mm-hmm, yeah, so they like everything on the menu is almost like unflinchingly on brand with the Forrest Gump franchise, which is crazy because it's one movie that they get that many references. They get every possible reference you could pull from it. They get on that menu.
Oh, yeah. I do like the liberties that they'll take. So, like, a strawberry smoothie would be called Jenny's Favorite. Yeah. You're like, okay. Why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess it's implied that during her period when she had a substance abuse problem, she was drinking a lot of these strawberry cocktails.
Guess when I she stepped down of, from the ledge, she yeah, went yeah, and had a strawberry smoothie.
After Mama got done fucking the principal, she had some nice fried shrimp and it was primo.
Yeah, that's on, that's on the Blu-ray. It's a deleted scene.
A fucked up movie.
It is. It's very dark. Yeah, and like a lot of kids see it, but it's got a lot of elements that are really, you know, about how fucked up the American South was. But it's fine now. We know it's fine now.
The South is now
South is fine.
Is cured. Yeah.
There was at one point where they were rolling out the new summer drinks, and one of them was called Plantation Punch.
Oh, no.
And
no.
It was just really hard because all these like white managers were like, I don't get what's so wrong about it. Most of our staff was like not white, and then we're all like, try the Plantation Punch. I don't know.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Doughboys. The Doughboys love moms. And hey, if you're looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos.
It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. Why? Because you know how I know? I gave one to mommy.
Wow, Mitch. For Mother's Day?
Not for Mother's Day, just because I'm a good son.
Well, you know, for Mother's Day, I may be thinking of getting my mom a little special something they can enjoy every day of the year. From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life who may also be moms. Every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
It takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app. Add unlimited photos and videos and invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. Why? Because you know what? I got me and my mom on my Aura frame, and also I got Wally and Irma.
Wow. Mitch, Weiger, Aura, all have something in common.
What's that?
We bring joy to moms. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Doughboys at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Do it.
Hey, buddy, it's Weiger and the Spoon Man. Hey, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just
2 minutes.
Wags, you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Let me go ahead and grab my detective looking glass. Mm-hmm. I am on the search for gourmet meals. Oh, there they are.
Yes,
Factor wise. Has meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
That's right, Wags. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long.
Look out
for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Wow.
Head to factormeals.com/doughboys50 and use code doughboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code doughboys50 at factormeals.com/doughboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mitch, how's your social battery right now? Is it drained, bursting with energy? How are you feeling, and how did it get to this level?
Wise, we just did 2 episodes of Doughboy, so my social battery is low.
Well,
I'm shutting down.
Understandably, because mm-hmm. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, Wags, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Me, I've benefited from therapy, as have many people that I love. And, you know, here's the thing I can say. Whether you've been in therapy or not, there are benefits for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it's not just for those who have experienced major trauma.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/doughboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/doughboys.
Welcome back to Doughboys. We're here with Mary Sohn. This week's chain, Firehouse Subs. I had never been here before. Mitch, had you ever been here before?
I've had it once.
You've had it once. Yes. Mary, have you ever been here?
Never been.
Well, thank you for being so game to get into this fast-growing chain that was founded by firemen.
It would have been all of our first time. I just tried it recently for the first time.
You don't have to apologize. You can't anticipate that we're going to do it for the
doing
show.
Doing a movie night with Hanford and Jeff.
Oh, that sounds like
they
fun.
They watched, I had seen it, they saw True Lies for the first time.
A lot of fun. It's a great mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah, it was. It is great. Great movie.
Well, the decor, so I actually went into we had a Firehouse Subs here just before we recorded, but I actually went on my own last night and went to, there's a new location near where we live in Santa Monica, right next to an El Pollo Loco. It's a lovely, lovely strip mall there. Mm. There's a Yogurt Land. It might be a Menchie's. No, I think it's a Yogurt Land. And then there is an L&L Hawaiian Barbecue, which unfortunately... I mean, I like L&L Hawaiian Barbecue, so I'm bummed that it closed. It turned into Fat Burger, which I also like, but right. I would have liked that L&L being there. You know what else? I'm thinking through the history of the strip mall as I'm talking. There used to be a Tommy's there, and it was one of the only Tommy's on the West Side, and now it's a Starbucks, which is just so generic.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing happened. They turned a Popeyes into a Starbucks. It was just such a downgrade, also in Santa Monica. But anyway... God. There's gentrification for you.
huh?
These working class places get turned into a froofy Starbucks.
Santa Monica got more gentrified?
Yeah, it got extra gentrified. Once I moved there. but it's like, it's they you know, we were talking about Bubba Gump before the break. it is so much like a Bubba Gump in terms of the firefighter theme. Like they all out. They've got like firemen's coats on the wall and firemen's hats everywhere. They're table coating. That's not what I'm trying to say. The top of the table.
Tating?
I don't know what tating is. Tating's not a word. I was trying to say.
I think you should go with tating.
All right, the tating is like a Dalmatian print. So it's yeah, you look down at the tables, they look like Dalmatians. They're like blacks with white, or white with black spots.
Synthetic? Or...
Yeah, synthetic.
All right, good.
Yeah. Pure Dalmatian skin.
Right, yeah. And it's very, it's really over the top, brick walls. But the
also,
service
when you try to walk in, they hosed you out of the restaurant, right?
But the service was great there. They were super duper friendly, and they were clear about it being my first time. So they were very, very much helped my hand through the process. Mm-hmm. Told me it took some time to make some sandwiches, which it did. So, they do have an app and you can order online and you can obviously call ahead, which may be the move because it does take a little bit of time for them to make these sandwiches to order, much more so than like a Quiznos or a Subway or any other chain. But the super nice service there. I got the sandwiches I tried. I tried the New York Steamer, which I think you also got, Mitch.
I did.
This is corned beef and pastrami.
Oh, I would have gotten a different. I didn't realize that you got
it. It's good that we've both got our own takes on it.
Okay,
because now we can. There's an argument we try different things, but there's an argument we try the same thing and see what our perspectives are. So we got the corned beef brisket and pastrami, melted provolone, deli mustard, mayo, and Italian dressing. I like this sandwich quite a bit. I tasted a few different ones. It might have been my favorite of the bunch. I mean, and what I'll say is the sandwiches we got today, which our good friend Yusong brought over for us because we were recording another episode just before this, those sandwiches were kind of room temp. The ones I got at the Santa Monica one were like, I got to eat them basically within 5 minutes of ordering, so they were more hot and toasty.
Hey, Yusong, you fucked up.
Hey, Yusong, you fired.
The nicest man. I met him on the way in here.
Well, guess what? He's fucking fired.
Go meet our friend the shit can, because that's where you're at now, you son.
He
you're done.
And another thing, you forgot my fucking brownie, you son.
You didn't offer to drive back to North Hollywood and get his brownie? What the fuck is your problem?
Do you know what would have, you know what? Hey, Yusong, here's an idea. Look through the fucking bag. You know what would happen at the Simpsons if I came back without an order?
Oh, man. Mike Reese would have ran you through the ringer. Al Jean would have blown his stack.
Anyone else? You got anybody else?
Matt Selman would have made you stir his peanut butter some more.
Yeah, well, he did that just in general.
John Swartzwelder would have showed up.
He would have showed up.
Yeah, he would have just been like, what's going on, guys? Someone would have caught him up, and then he would have gotten mad at you.
I saw him just a couple times in my time there. He's one of the legendary guys.
Right.
You don't get a glimpse of. He's just heard of.
Yeah.
We're gonna have Selman back at some point.
Love to have Selman back. Love Selman.
Joe's Crab Shack is what he wants to do.
Okay. Yeah. Booked.
He's booked. You're in, Selman.
That's how we book guests now. We tell each other on the air, and then we say,
would make our lives a billion times easier. Yeah. Only issue is, he probably won't listen.
Right.
And he'll never know. And also, this comes out in 3 weeks or something.
By the way, Matt Kowalik wants to do McDonald's.
Booked.
Wait a minute. No, I was setting you up to pass. Oh. You're supposed to book.
Oh, yeah.
You're
fuck
to book
him.
Kowalik for.
Oh, guess what?
McDonald's.
There's two firings today. You're fucking fired, Koala, just like you saw. Piece of shit. You think you can get McDonald's, huh?
All right. But yeah, I thought the New York Steamer was a very, like, I thought it was I got it warmer. The meats I thought were very high quality. I really like the mix of the different condiments on it, and the melted provolone was nice. You know, for a sandwich with no veggies, just bread and meat. But I thought it was a very good execution of that style.
I agree with you. I liked it a lot. It's weirdly it's hard to call the sandwich plain because it's not.
Right.
But it is just like kind of so straightforward, just a meaty meat torpedo. I don't know where I was going with it. It is just a big meat log.
Exactly.
And it's great. I enjoy it. And the quality of the meat and the bread. The bread is so very specific, but the quality of the meat stands out, and it's great. It's good.
The bread is kind of almost, it's more bun than bread, I want to say. Ooh, Mary, you're kind of nodding there.
I'm with you. I feel like it's not super distinct. It's not like you go to this place for the bread.
Right, which a lot of sandwiches and you know, like better delis, you know, like Bay City's over on the west side. It's just like there's a restaurant here in LA called All About the Bread because it is all about the bread.
Yeah.
But here the bread is pretty unspectacular. It's kind of just like a vessel for the insides.
I don't think it's. I don't hate it though.
I don't hate it. It's fine. It's
like
just
soft. I don't know. You're right though. It's strange.
It's strange. It's softer than you'd expect for something that's warmed up and toasted.
Yeah. And here's my follow up for something earlier.
Yeah.
When you said that it takes a little longer than you would think.
Yeah.
My question is why. Because it doesn't feel like, you know, it's somehow different.
That's right. A great question.
No, yeah, it's adjacent to what you might get at some other places. They take their time making it. I got a few other things to try, but let's hear about your guys' sandwiches real quick. Mary, let's start with you.
I got the hot Italian, and I got it because I always love an Italian sandwich, but I think every sandwich is elevated when you warm it up.
Right.
Always. And I really do like it. My one beef is I feel like they made it all hot, lettuce included.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a... You know what? I'm going to say that's a product of Yusong transporting it over here. Yusong, what are you doing with this hot lettuce? You taking that hot salad reference we have in the show literally? That's a joke, you jerk.
Yeah. No, wait. It's not a joke. Nice try, Weiger.
Hey, don't turn this around on me. Our bit is we're going after Yusong.
All right, fine. Yeah. Fuck you, Yusong. I have a degree from Cornell. Fool. Hey, Yusong, you forgot my brownie. How would you feel if they didn't give you your diploma on the stage at fucking Cornell? Jackass piece of shit.
I majored in English.
Is that his real major?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He's so much smarter than us. Anyways, you're a piece of shit and you're fired.
So the hot Italian.
Yeah. I just feel like it was an okay Sammy.
Right. Yeah. Hot lettuce. They said the everything unspectacular beyond that.
And also, I mean, maybe this is too much, but yeah. I love it when each part of a sandwich feels like a distinct part. So
right.
Like a salami is crisp as hell on the outside and like the cheese feels really nice and melted. This all kind of feels like a sum of its parts.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's a bummer.
That's, you know, when I got this last time, Mike Hanford got the Italian. This solves a mystery for us because he was like, my Italian sandwich was hot. And he was so mad that his Italian sandwich was hot.
Not normally a hot sandwich.
Not normally a hot sandwich. This like, I think you can get it cold, and maybe that's what the issue was. We had never ordered from there before, so this seems to be what the issue was.
Right.
But he was, I think he kind of did not like, see, like, with this New York steamer, which is such a weird name,
not
by the
great.
Way.
It's unpleasant.
It sounds like a gross, shitty thing that a frat guy said.
Right, right. But, something you look up on Urban Dictionary, yeah, and it's just some putrid sex act someone's imagined.
Yeah. Yeah, someone's imagined it. It's in one of your tabs right now.
Come on.
I like the fact that this sandwich is kind of like soft and old, and it, like, I like the fact that it kind of like has a mouthfeel that way, and I'm just kind of like chewing on these meats. But I do. I've never had, because before I got a steak and cheese, I think with pickles in it, and I really enjoyed that too, but also in the similar way of like there was a little bit of crunch with the pickles,
right?
But for the most part, it was just like kind of like a nice soft steak and cheese sandwich that I was eating, and so maybe there's something to say about adding lettuce and tomato and all that to these sandwiches where it just doesn't work as well.
Right.
Maybe
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I will say that because we got so one thing I like about this chain, and this is also something that we said in Quiznos' favor, Mitch.
Yeah.
Which is that you can get a small size sandwich that's kind of like a half sandwich, and it's nice that they accommodate that. So I got a couple of smalls just to try them out. I got a small Firehouse Hero, which is roast beef, turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, melted provolone. Again, just a very and service fully involved, which fully involved means it has a bunch of different toppings: mayo, deli mustard, lettuce, tomato, onion, and a kosher dill pickle.
Fully involved too. Yeah, again.
Yeah.
Fully involved.
What? It's weird.
In I a think relationship?
I think yeah. You're committed to this sandwich if you order it.
Which kind of makes sense for me.
Right.
I am kind of fully involved with submarine sandwiches.
I would say I like this one. I would say, you know, not quite as good as the steamer. And I wonder if based on what you guys are saying, I wonder if the absence of the veggies actually helps the New York steamer, if that's that makes it a little better. I will say the tuna, which I got cold, which is just very, very simple. It's exactly what a tuna sandwich is, except they called it an old fire department recipe to cash in on the theme.
The old fire department tuna sandwich recipe.
Oh, those guys love a hearty tuna.
Rob, our engineer, is shaking his head vigorously at that.
Old tuna.
Yeah, right. That does make it sound disgusting. So I like that tuna sandwich. I thought it was like a very nice tuna salad. You know, you get that sometimes it's got that it's got like a creamy consistency, but it's not like too globby. If the word globby makes sense, it kind of is evocative in some way, right? So it's like it still had like a nice like meaty texture to it. And I thought the tuna was high quality. I thought that was like a very good tuna sandwich, and it was nice to have. I would say more of these sandwiches should maybe come cold by default, because that's literally the only sandwich that comes cold by default.
Yeah. Mm.
And also, I think if you order this tuna hot, you're a maniac, because that's insane.
I mean, like, what about a tuna mouth there, buddy?
Well, they don't... Okay, fine. Touche. If you want to get a tuna melt. But I feel like it's like weird to heat up the tuna itself, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess you do that in a tuna melt. What do I know? Natalie ordered the sweet and spicy meatball, which I had a bite of.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good. It could have used a little bit more spice. I think you have to do some things in the customization to make it actually spicy, because I think it's actually a little bit just... I think the sweet is a stronger element there than the spicy.
And what makes it sweet?
It's the sauce. The Captain Sorensen's Dattil Pepper Hot Sauce. I don't know what Dattil is. I got to look up... I had to Google something else. I got to find out what Dattil is. And red pepper flakes.
What the hell?
So, yeah, But that said, the meatballs were a very good... Like, they had a nice substance to them. They were high-quality meatballs. I mean, I feel like the ingredients here are, like, good quality.
Yes.
Maybe that's a thing that... Yeah. Why does it cost maybe a little bit more? Why does it take a little bit longer to make? Maybe that's it, that they just have better source, fresher ingredients. Maybe that's part of it.
And here's what I'll say, too, about at least the to-go presentation.
Yeah.
They give it to you in these little boxes, which hopefully are highly recyclable.
Right.
But it is kind of just like a nice little, like more so than any other sub places where it's you just kind of Subway's thrown in like that big shitty plastic sleeve.
Yes.
And it's just wrapped up. Here it's like, oh, this is kind of a nice presentation. You open it up, there's your sandwich. I like it. I do like it.
And I
hope that it's recyclable. That's all.
Yeah. And I don't know if you got it looks recyclable.
Yeah.
Hey, that's authentic firefighter cardboard it uses on that one.
No recycle symbol on it.
Yeah. Mm. I would wager it's recyclable. It feels like that kind of material. Did you guys notice the pickle spear that comes with your sandwich? I'm curious in your thoughts on those pickles. And while you're doing that, I got one more sandwich today because I'd already eaten yesterday, but I figured something else, I'd get something else ordered and, I figured I'd give Yusong something else to fuck up.
Did he fuck it up?
Yeah. But I accounted for that. But I got the Firehouse Hero, and I'm going to take a bite of this Firehouse Hero. This is roast beef, smoked turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, and melted provolone, served fully involved. That's not the one I just read, is it? No, that is the one I just read. Hold on. This isn't what Firehouse Hole. I got something else. Fuck, what did I get? I messed up.
This is a nice meltdown we're watching.
Hold on. We'll fix this. Ah, fuck. I got this text. I got to look at my phone to see what the text.
On?
I don't remember what sandwich I got. I thought I got this one, but I got something else. Hold on. Let me look at my text messages. Tell me what you guys thought about those pickles.
I just ate my pickle.
I think mine did not come with one.
No, really?
Nah.
Is it behind it?
It might be underneath it, like a little surprise.
And I was dead wrong. Here it is.
Yeah, it's weird that they kind of hide it in there and don't even tell you.
Ooh, I do like that it comes separately wrapped like this.
It is nice.
Yeah.
I think the pickle's decent. It's like a nice mix between like a Vlasic and like a deli pickle or something.
Right.
Like it's got enough flavor. You know, like when you get a pickle from like a Jewish deli, sometimes it has like not enough vinegar taste to it. This has just enough for me. I usually like them more vinegar.
At a Jewish deli, what the hell are those little seeds or something on it?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Like peppercorn?
There's peppercorn sometimes in the, like just floating in the brine.
Is
right?
that what they are?
But sometimes, do they put sesame seeds on? I don't know.
There's some weird shit in there. If you know what's going on with those delis, hashtag deli mystery seeds.
Oh, there's going to be some fucking huge pickle fanatic who's going to yell at us.
That's fine. Hey, come at me, pickle fanatic.
Yeah, you're pickle freak. Let's see what you have to say.
All right, I actually got... I messed it up because I thought what I'd written down was the sandwich I ordered today, but it was actually not what I texted you, Song. That's what I got last night. This is the Smokehouse Beef and Cheddar Brisket. I'm going to take a bite of this right now. It's been sitting at room temp for the entire time we're talking, so perhaps I'll get some sort of
what are these weird experiments? You're doing a character stuff at the beginning of the show. Now you're doing some weird experiment where you're going to eat mid podcast
character stuff. Are you still referring to when we called the
Mario?
Yeah, when we called Mario and the Italian commissioner of tourism, director of guest services for the country.
You're right. I guess it's not a character as you struggle to come up with what he was.
I had trouble remembering his actual biographical details. I think if I had this bad boy hot, I'd love it.
Oh.
Again, just a meat and cheese one. It's more of a barbecue concept versus the New York Steamer, which is a little bit more of like akin to a Reuben, although they actually have a Reuben on the menu. But this is really good. Sorry for talking about my mouth completely full.
Hey, can I say something to you? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, don't Bogart that sandwich, man. Pass it down.
Now you're speaking my language, buddy. All right, I'm going to pass this over to Mitch. And if Rob and Mary, if you guys feel like you want to take a bite, feel free. Also, zero pressure. You don't have to eat this cold sandwich if you don't want to. But yeah, so this one has brisket that it claims it has been smoked for 16 hours, melted cheddar, mayo, and Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, a very famous sauce. You can also get this. See, this is crazy because you can get this one cold. Why would you want this sandwich cold? Oof. I know we're eating it cold, but like if you have the option of having this hot, it's like getting a cold pastrami when a hot pastrami is available. It's like intended to be served hot.
That's good.
It's pretty good, right?
Do you want to try a bite of it?
Yeah.
All
right, Mitch is passing the sandwich on down to Mary.
Feel free to bite from the different end so you don't have to go where our mouth marks are.
I'm not afraid. I'm going to go right over your mouth mark. I'm going to champagne flute it. Yeah.
It's like a show of dominance.
And it's worked. Nick and I are cowering in the corner.
We'd be doing that anyway.
Good point.
I think I like that one quite a bit. Do you think, Mary? Yeah.
I'm always surprised when a sandwich place, like including a place like Jimmy John's, will have really good bacon.
Right.
Like, that's good.
Yeah, it's good. I think, you know, again, the high-quality ingredients are a big thing in its favor. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention, I got the Firehouse Chili last night. We were talking about Wendy's chili earlier.
I saw it on the menu. I knew you were going to... I didn't order it because I knew you were going to get it. Also, Yusong would have clearly forgotten I got it. I got the brownie instead, which was forgotten.
I brought you guys an iced tea. That's what you wanted, right?
Chili.
Chili.
Oh, I thought you meant the temperature.
Are you an English major?
Can you help me use my car keys?
Yusong, you shouldn't be driving. Yeah, I thought the chili was Natalie's favorite thing that she had in the whole order, and I thought it's a very good chili. I mean, Firehouse is known for their chili, and you know that's like a point of pride for a lot of firefighters, and it's a very very good version of it.
I was just laughing thinking about how Yusong's gonna kick the shit out of us. I'm gonna hear a knock on my door, and Yusong's just gonna fucking beat the fuck out of me. No, screaming.
This waif-life man just pounding both of us. He has a rage inside of him that you just have to awaken.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we also had a chocolate chip cookie, which was fine. I honestly don't think you're missing much from missing that brownie.
From the fine delivery, does not sound like it was that good.
Yeah, it was just like it. It's like a Subway cookie. Like, why waste the calories on this? I mean, go to the yogurt land next door and get an actual dessert.
Yeah.
But overall, I was impressed with Firehouse Subs. And so let's get to our final thoughts on this chain. And here's how this will work, Mary. We'll each go around. We'll sort of give a closing argument, a summation of our feelings on this experience, and then ascribe it a rating on the order of 0 to 5 forks. You are our guest. We will begin with you.
5 forks being the best.
5 forks is the best. 0 is the worst.
Gotcha. Well,
and you can go halves, too.
Yeah, half forks, yeah, times half forks are welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I was really excited to try this also because on their website, it does like just go so hard on the Firehouse element.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think like certain subs also give a portion of that to firefighters.
They do, yeah.
Which also was confusing because I was like, oh, did I order the wrong one? I would like to support these people.
Right.
I felt like...
Yeah, half of the profits go towards firefighters, the other half go towards starting fires. You have to guess which is the right sandwich to order.
Yeah.
This one definitely started.
It's called the Beavis Fun.
Yeah.
Nice topical reference.
The Beavis is smarter than me.
Yeah, we know you, song.
I will say I felt like it was nothing super special. Mm. Bread was the warm lettuce mush did also affect the score. So I'm going to say 2 forks.
2 forks. Dang. Wow.
Wow.
Harsh but fair. Mm. Go ahead, Mitch.
I get it. We just reviewed Quiznos. And with Haley Joel Osment, who's in Forrest Gump. He was.
Yeah, you're right.
We
talked about Bubba Gump briefly on the episode.
We briefly talked about Bubba Gump. We all kind of felt like Quiznos was better than what we thought it would be.
Yes.
Then here, this sandwich is quality-wise better than Quiznos. I think there's no doubt about it. My question with this place is, would I get sick of it quicker? Because I feel like at Quiznos, there's a lot of options. I know that the quality's not as good. Would I get sick of these subs quicker, especially if a lot of them are kind of like, just like kind of like doughy meat bombs or whatever?
Right.
And I think there's a chance that I would. I feel like this is going to be a good revisit at some point too, because I don't know enough about this chain, and I'm probably not going to go out of my way to learn more about this chain, which is a bad sign.
Right.
That being said, I like the theme of it. I think that it's a fun, nice theme, and like it is such a theme that other places don't have, Quiznos or Subways.
Right.
Even though it is kind of it's like hokey or whatever, but hey. A lot of good Jakes out there. We support our firefighters,
right.
The men and women who work for the fire department. A lot of great people, and I like that they support that.
By the way, is that a slang term? I don't know. Jake.
Jake. Yeah. Yes. It means a firefighter, and
okay.
I think it's good. I think it's yeah. Hopefully, it's not offensive or anything. Just coming up. Well, who knows?
We're getting tweeted at by the Firefighters Defense Fund for using a slur.
Kick my ass with Yusong. I did enjoy every sandwich I've tried from here. I kind of have enjoyed it. So I gotta go higher than Quiznos, but I'm not gonna get it into the Golden Plate Club. It's not getting 4 forks.
Mm.
I'm gonna say 3.75, which is good.
3 forks, 3 tines. Yeah. As many tines as forks. Mm-hmm. It's a very good score.
Yeah.
I think
too high?
No, well, okay. I think we're going to be all over the map here with our scores, and I think part of that is based off of our different experiences, and one element is that me actually going to the restaurant and having it like a little bit more...
Rub it in our faces.
I'm not trying to say like I'm an A student here. I'm saying that I was...
You've always tried to say that.
I'm not trying
to
say that.
From your bassoon days till now.
Come on.
You had a trophy because you were so good at the bassoon.
I don't want to dwell on my bassoon playing.
You
do. It's a part of that chapter of my...
Hey, man.
The chapter's closed in my life.
You can't give it up, man. We all know this about you.
Don't try to suck me back into that life. I've been there. But no, I did. Here's what I'll say. It was for me. It was very convenient because it's like right by us. It was like super duper convenient. So I was like, fuck it. I might as well try it last night. And I wasn't sure what my schedule was going to be like today. So I got it last night. And I think because I had it so fresh, I like the sandwiches I had last night were very, very good. Like they like if you can get this in the restaurant or a short jaunt home, like a 5 minute trip, like. You're sitting pretty because when you get these things piping hot or even just warm, I think that's in their ideal state. If it has to sit a little longer, like if it's part of like a big office lunch order or something, I'd go with a cold sub because I think like what Mary's talking about that hot the temperature wilting that lettuce gradually over the course of like 30 or 40 minutes is just not going to leave you with a great experience. And I think their cold subs are, you know, I think they have good options here. I wish they had more cold subs by default, but since you can make any sub cold, you can customize to your liking. Love the New York Steamer. I like the brisket sandwich, which we just tasted today. Firehouse Hero is very solid. Great tuna, fantastic chili, high quality meatball. If you love a meatball sub, I think that's a very good version.
I do.
Everything about the menu pretty much every sandwich I had succeeded to different degrees. You know, the bread is maybe a weak spot, but what's in between those slices really, really shines. And the service was fantastic. And hey, you know my fandom of hunks, Mitch. Who's hunkier than a firefighter?
There's not many people.
Classic hunky profession.
Classic hunk.
All the beefcakes who brave those fires. Hats off to you.
And you love
no hats on when you're fighting fires.
No. You broke me.
Mary's leaving.
Mary's about to walk out. And light that my apartment on fire.
Oh yeah, and I'll find you, Tongan. Kick his ass. Wait, I do want to ask a follow-up about the chili. Like, is there anything that makes a firehouse chili unique?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, I think that's one of those things where every firehouse kind of has their own signature version of it. This one's a very simple but just well-executed chili. It's honestly like pretty similar to a Wendy's chili. Like, if you just looked at them side by side, to be like, oh, this is maybe you might think it's the same thing. But it's just like I think everything is like it's nice and thick and hearty. And you know, like well-seasoned, because sometimes you'll get that chain chili that's like maybe a little under-seasoned. So yeah, I thought it was just a very good execution of a classic version.
I got a buddy who works for the fire department and lives in Dorchester, Mike Campanelli. I'll ask him.
Yeah, that's what Mike's having in the firehouse.
Yeah, I think he does make stuff.
Whoa, that's cool.
He's an Italiano guy, so I think he does cook up some stuff.
Oh, a lot of fun.
Yeah,
is he coming with you to Italy?
I don't think he is.
Okay,
he's got a baby,
right? Yeah, he's got other things to worry about.
I had a question for you. Was Prodigy's Firestarter playing the entire time we were in there?
Yeah, it was weird. They had that. It was just a loop of that song, and then a Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire."
I got a good. I don't know what the hashtag will be, but a good online question. What are the words without looking it up? I always thought psychosomatic adiconsane. I don't even know what to say.
What are the words to Firestarter?
Yeah, psychosomatic adiconsane. You know what the part I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What do they say right there?
Hashtag Firestarter memory challenge. And whoever gets it closest without cheating will do this.
That's
on the honor
insane.
System. Whoever gets this closest without cheating will get a prize.
No, stop trying to give out prizes.
All right, we won't give away a prize. We'll salute you on the Doughboys Twitter.
You on the Doughboys Twitter. Also... I also just said what I thought it was, which is close to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, or whatever. We'll see
what the responses are.
But yeah, I
fucking prize.
I'm going higher. I'm going higher. This is I really like this place. I want to go back. 4.5 forks.
Wow.
I thought it was great. Wow. Barry looks aghast, but wow. I stand by it. I had a fantastic experience last night. This sandwich I nibbled on today was pretty good too.
You're an octave higher. I'm going to go higher. You like made your voice go higher.
It was as if I'd pressed one of the different thumb keys in the bassoon.
Oh, God.
All right. Hey, it was only fingering I did in high school.
Oh,
I apologize. All right. Okay.
Wait, does that make it go up an octave higher?
Yeah, you can. There's like 13 thumb keys. It's crazy. Yeah. I think the clarinet is maybe more direct. Like you press there's just like basically an octave key on a clarinet where you can kick it up a notch.
Did you? Didn't your saliva release valve go right onto your crotch?
That's tough. All right, that was our review of Firehouse Sub. It's time for a regular segment. We're going to decide if something is a little too spicy. This is hot or not. Me mouth on fire, me tongue on fire, feeling hot or not. They see us tasting, their mind is racing, is it hot or not? All right, so this is hot or not. So, Mary...
Mary was... she couldn't look it.
I had a downward gaze.
God.
I like the accent.
Hey, you got a little vocal, a little Buster Poindexter. So, Mary, are you someone who likes things a little spicy?
Love
or something
of
a heat seeker?
Spice.
Yeah? Do you like how spicy will you go?
All the way, baby.
Oh, you'll go all the way. Wow, okay. All right. Well, we've got a couple of things here.
I've said it before. I can't do the spice as much anymore.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
I love spicy. I'm not like a spice challenge guy. I'll go like to the, like see how far I can test myself. But yeah, I definitely will order something spicy at a restaurant. I mean, I love a little bit of heat. So we've got two things here. One is that we've got Captain Sorensen's Datto Pepper Hot Sauce from Firehouse Subs.
Wow.
So we can go ahead and try this one, and we're going to compare it with, Mitch, you picked up some Cheetos Baked Flamin' Hot, which
That's
I know
right.
Flamin' Hots are not necessarily super spicy. I don't think either of these things are necessarily going to be super spicy.
But the weird baked version of them. We could give it a snack or whack while we're at it.
Let's see what how the baked version holds up in heat intensity. And yeah, we can also say snack or whack-dom. I'm going to send this over your direction, Mary. First, the Cheetos. And I'm also going to pour myself a little drizzle of this Captain Sorensen's hot sauce, which we don't have a delivery system for... formally, but you know, you guys can
use our bread from our sandwiches.
Yeah, feel free to use your bread from your sandwich. I'm sorry if that dribbles a little. I'm gonna have a little of this hot sauce first. So there's definitely, I think this is the same hot sauce that's on the sweet and spicy meatball sandwich. And it's got like kind of a relishy character in here. And you know what? It's got a little bit more kick than I'd expect. It's definitely more sweet than spicy, but it's got a little bit of spice to it. I mean, it's just a little bit. I'm going to take a little nibble of this baked Cheeto as well.
I got news on the baked Cheeto.
Huh.
They're good.
The baked Cheeto is good.
I'm so surprised about the crunch on the Cheeto. The baked element would make it feel like kind of dry, but it's not.
Yeah, you would expect that, but absolutely.
The baked chips, there's such a difference with the baked chips. And these do a good job. How did we did like the triple hot ones and they were only like hot.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's how we ranked them because we do from not 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 to hot 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 and everything in between. How would you rank these Flaming Hot Cheetos just on their own, Nick, as far as heat goes?
In terms of hotness. Mm. I mean, Flaming Hot Cheetos are not particularly hot. Yeah. They're like a little bit of burn to them, but they're very, very subtle. I think like you got to take out a full bag and then maybe you've got a little bit of a lingering burn.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, invented by a we may have talked about this on the show before, invented by a janitor who worked at the Frito-Lay factory and just had the idea of taking Mexican seasonings and putting them on a batch of unflavored Cheetos. He did it, and he cold called the CEO of Frito-Lay, didn't realize you weren't supposed to do it, and pitched his idea. And they ended up making them. This guy's now a VP of Frito-Lay. It's an amazing story. It's like
a great story.
They're actually making it into a movie because it's a movie story.
Yeah.
But he's a great man. He's done more for the world than I ever will. But the baked Cheetos, or where I was going with this is they're not particularly spicy. I think the baked version is as spicy, right?
I think so.
It's not. It's not more or less spicy. It's like equally spicy, which is not very spicy.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you call it? Half a hot. I think it's like half a hot. I think it's half hot, half not, is maybe where I'd say.
Yeah.
Kind of in that threshold. I don't know.
Maybe just like, just right in the middle. It's maybe I'd give it like a quarter of a hot or something. Like it's very low on the hot level.
Yeah.
Quarter of a hot.
Quarter of a hot.
Wow.
What are you thinking?
I think at least a half hot. I did a sharp inhale.
Yeah. I guess half hot is totally fair. Yeah. I think I might lean in that direction.
It's funny because this fireman, the Captain Sorensen sauce, the Firehouse sub sauce, is like almost equally as hot or something. Like maybe a little bit more spicy than the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Right.
Yeah.
Really? I'm getting a Domino's spicy marinara.
Honestly, it's very, very close to that. It's very tomato-y. It's very sweet, which that sauce is. Yeah, it's absolutely right in that ballpark. This wouldn't be out of place on a chain pizza. But it's got a little bit of spice to it. I don't know. I don't know if it's quite as spicy as the Cheetos. It's definitely spicier than I expected, because I basically expected something with a spice level of barbecue sauce. I would say this is a... This is... You know what? Here's how we'll do it. This is the Flamin' Hot Cheetos is H and then half and then C, which is half of the O, and the sauce is so, just an H. Yeah, it's a. And then the other one is just an H. The sweet and the spicy sauce.
Oh, interesting. I thought that maybe they. All right, fair enough.
You think it's a little spicier? Well, how would you rate it?
It's hard to tell in my head, honestly. I almost thought that the sauce was maybe, but maybe that's lingering effects from the Cheetos.
Right.
Now I can't tell. I'm all mixed up. You know what? I'll just give them both a.
I think that's fair. As long as you have more opportunities to make that noise. That's what everyone wants to hear. It is.
People will love hearing this. But my answer is.
People are. Some people will have trouble distinguishing when you're making that noise consciously and when you're just exhaling.
Fuck you, piece of shit.
Mary, what do you think about that sauce? That Firehouse sauce.
I think it's a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. I think you guys are right. I mean, it's like. I don't know. I would expect, like, from firefighters. You know what I kind of had the feeling of? You know, I'm thinking of it because we were saying Simpsons earlier, and because also Ned Flanders is wearing a fireman's hat in the episode. But when he says he's got, like Ned, he's got his Firehouse five-alarm chili, and then you, like, it's like two alarms at best, right? What is two and a half at best?
Yeah.
Is that what it ends up being?
Yeah.
Whatever that joke is from the chili episode.
Homer really
right.
makes him look like a fool.
Yeah, I'm sure a pedantic Simpsons fan won't correct me. That never happens on the internet. But it's that sort of thing where I would think something from a firehouse restaurant, like a place that where it's like, oh, we're firefighters. I think they'd have something truly spicy there.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little disappointed they don't have something that's like super duper spicy, just as a novelty, but just to kind of pay off their theme a little bit.
Is that their one sauce?
I think that's the one that they sell. Because I saw what they were selling that at the counter, and they had two different sizes of the same bottle. So
you're right, because I ate another one of those Flamin' Hot Cheetos that lingers with you.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a slow burn.
Yeah,
A podcast about Watergate. I think we're in the same ballpark for all of those. Hey, that was
let's do it all at once.
Were we gonna snack or whack the baked Cheetos?
Snack.
Yeah, I think those are definite snack.
Yeah. You know how, like, you ever had those Cheez-Its that are, like, a quarter of the fat?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. Those are superior. Just like
wow. Are they really?
Yeah. They, like, have much more of a crisp on it.
What I like is the toasted Cheez-Its.
Oh, the ones they do extra, like, burned?
Yeah, those are good. Extra burnt ones.
They
yeah.
have that?
Oh, they do, man. Yeah.
They do oh, they ever.
Yeah, seek baby. Them out at your local supermarket. They are delightful.
Yes, at your local supermarket.
Or wherever you shop for dry goods.
Dry goods.
That was Hot or Not, just like a restaurant. We value your feedback. Let's open to the feedback. Today's email comes to us from Rachel in Santa Cruz.
Hey, Natalie, we're running low on dry goods. I'm going to run out. Do we need any wet goods, too?
Rachel in Santa Cruz writes, Weiger claims that Wendy's spicy crispy chicken sandwich was introduced in 1996, and this claim sent my brother and me into a tailspin as we both have very vivid memories of eating the sandwich several years before that. Wow. My memory is distinctly of me wearing my candy striper uniform in our mom's minivan while taking my brother to the batting cages, which could only have been in the 1994 to 1995 era. Upon some deep digging, Reed scrolling slightly further down the Wikipedia page, we learned the sandwich was a promotional item leading up to its placement as a permanent menu item in 1996. The relief was immense. So, to wrap this up, do you have any detailed childhood memories of eating specific fast food items and the clothing you were wearing while enjoying it?
Wow, clothing you were wearing.
Thanks for the question, Rachel.
Yeah. Also, Weiger, I think I would have tried to correct you if I had really thought about that. I think I would have thought you were wrong, too.
Really?
That the first time I had it was when I was like 14 years old.
Right.
It seems like I had it when I was... I think the first time I saw promotional spicy chicken sandwich, I wanted it.
I don't remember its promotional era. Yeah. I only remember what like when
what
it was
on. What is a candy striper uniform? What is that?
It's a type of nurse, right? It's it's maybe it's a... I don't know if it's a full nurse, maybe, or a nurse.
It's like a volunteer.
A volunteer, okay. Got okay. it. Yeah. I should know. My mom was a nurse. But the it's something in the medical field. I was trying to... I mean, you know, what I thought of was... And I think I've told this story before. And I thought of wearing my orchestra out, like my tuxedo, and eating chili cheese fries while I was wearing this right before a concert. And, like, my parents, I remember them asking me, like, hey, are you sure you want to eat chili cheese fries before, like, your concert tonight? And me just being like, of course I want. It's what I want to eat. Like, me being, like, a little shit about it. And then while we were, like, playing, like, Dvorak's New World Symphony or something, like, my stomach just going, like, just, like, having the worst stomach pains while I was playing the clarinet on stage. And my dumb little tuxedo. So yeah, that's one memory. But I'm trying to think of anything else, anything specifically fast food related. Anything come to mind for you guys?
Childhood specifically, I'm trying to think of. Oh, you know what? Well, I don't know. In high school, I remember getting out of a football practice and like still wearing like my gym. I specifically remember my gym clothes and being drenched and getting a quarter pounder meal with cheese from McDonald's with my mom, which was great.
Right.
It was like it just stuck with, it was like one of those meals. You know what it was too? My mom brought a Gatorade. So yes. I like chugged this big Gatorade that tasted so good because I just had a workout where I was probably close to puking because I was so out of shape and pathetic.
Right.
And then I did myself that favor of, you know, working out a bunch. And then I ate more calories than I burned off. But it was such a good, man, it was like, that must have been a good McDonald's meal for me to just remember it.
Yeah.
And then I told the first communion story where I like was in my little first communion suit and they brought me, my aunt, the cool aunt, brought McDonald's, like brought a Happy Meal.
That's
which
awesome.
Which was fucking great.
Yeah, that's so clutch.
Yeah, yeah. But I can't remember anything else specific. I remember like eating like pizza and stuff like in birthday boys costumes and stuff.
Sure.
But nothing else comes to mind. But that's funny to like enjoy a meal so much that you like remember what you had on.
Right.
That's great. That's great.
Mary, anything come to mind?
Well, I am kind of bringing it full circle back to my old Bubba Gump days.
Hell yeah.
Afterwards, we'd always go to this bar called Streeters and close that out, which would be at like 4:30 a.m. Wow. But right next door was a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Like those crisp sandwiches.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m. were so piping hot, and like all that cheese was just like melting in the croissant. Oh, so I always remember wearing a bubblegum t-shirt and some really bad khaki shorts. Just reeking.
Hey, if you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail. Go for it.
But I was going to say, in Nick and I's story, we were also reeking, too.
Right, yeah.
Why did all of us have wet crotches?
There's never a time in my life when I didn't smell like shrimp. or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. Thanks to Mookie Blakelock for his help out with our Italy bit earlier.
What the?
And yeah, Mitch, I'm breaking the fourth wall. And of course, thanks to our guest, Mary Sohn. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, you guys.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug at this time?
I do a podcast with two gals called Real Housewives Kiki Show. And that's it.
Look that up. And well, hey, that'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
You Song, you're fired.
You're fired, you dumb fuck.
Hey guys, you want more Doughboys?
To get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden Plate Club.
Sign up at patreon.com/doughboys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.